This is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, April 22nd. I'm Audrey McCabe. KVNF previously reported that the Bustang was facing financial difficulties, with some elected officials calling attention to its cost far outweighing its revenue. State transportation officials have announced that they plan to tap revenue from I-25 and I-70 tolls to sustain the popular intercity bus service. The Denver Post reports that these toll revenues, about $62 million a year, have been earmarked mostly for highway construction projects over the next decade. Dozens of Paonia residents packed Tuesday night's Board of Trustees meeting, voicing strong opposition to the town's security camera system. According to the Delta County Independent, nearly every speaker called for the Verkata cameras to be shut off, put to a public vote, or placed under stricter rules. Before public comment began, Town Administrator Stefan Wynn said that, based off his analysis, it seems that people analytics, face detection, person attributes, and person of interest alerts were all disabled on the town system. He said, "It absolutely makes sense to have an ordinance in place on how these are governed. Maybe that was something that should have been in place to begin with." Several residents then asked why a decision of this magnitude wasn't put to a public vote, citing the scale of community opposition expressed in the room. In response, trustees unanimously voted to table the draft ordinance governing the system until their next meeting, when a newly elected board takes office. They also agreed to consider turning off some cameras until clearer policies are in place. KVNF reported last week that the Montrose County School District is considering merging schools amid potential budget cuts and declining enrollment. Several informational meetings will be held this week to discuss potential school closures. The first meeting will be held tonight, April 22nd, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at Pomona Elementary. Tomorrow, April 23rd, a meeting will be held at Northside Elementary from 5:30 to 7 p.m. The U.S. House has unanimously advanced three measures that seek to improve rural broadband. The Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez reports that lawmakers across our region helped push the measures through.
The bills could be a significant step toward closing the digital divide, especially for rural, low-income, and tribal communities where access to the internet can be spotty or expensive. The divide, lawmakers say, affects everything from access to education, employment, health care, and civic participation.
I commend my colleagues in the Western Caucus.
Utah Congresswoman Celeste Malloy, who chairs a conservative Congressional Western Caucus, says the bills would represent an investment in the future.
And livelihoods of rural America, the Western states, and our Western values.
The bills would create an interagency strike force to review applications for projects on public lands. They would also streamline the application process and establish a vetting procedure with the Federal Communications Commission to monitor and track broadband services. In Las Vegas, I'm Yvette Fernandez with the Mountain West News Bureau.
Duane Romero is considered a latecomer to the Democratic primary race for Colorado's 3rd District by some in his party. The Army veteran has the backing of former candidate Adam Frisch and is hoping to defeat the winner of the now-contested Republican primary. To win the congressional seat, Romero will first have to face Democratic opponent Alex Keloff in June. For KVNF, Lisa Young recently caught up with Romero as he campaigns in one of Colorado's largest districts.
Duane Romero, Democratic primary candidate for Colorado's 3rd Congressional District, thank you for joining KVNF today.
Thank you, too, Lisa. Really appreciate the opportunity.
You began your campaign very late in the process. Why were you a latecomer to the race, and how do you expect to gain ground on your primary opponent, Alex Keloff?
Thanks, Lisa. First off, no, I don't see that we got in late. I think we got in. And, you know, as a reporter, I've got some friends and newspaper reporters. It's, you know, you're up to the deadline. We got in. You know, in 3.5 weeks thereafter, Lisa, we were able to achieve through the caucus process, which I'm immensely proud of. We got 49% of the delegate vote in 3.5 weeks and over $500,000 of contributions and support, which was also fantastic. So I think those 3.5 weeks serve as a bit of a prologue to the next 3 months. And so we're already into the April. And so we're going to roll and continue to connect with folks, continue to make our messages, continue to listen, frankly, and to develop, I believe, you know, refined policy positions and also connections around my service and my support, my experiences, so they understand our side as well. And I believe that the momentum, frankly, is with us. So we're really excited about that.
I'm curious as to what you see as the major concerns in the district at this time, and what are the issues that you're most focused on?
It's definitely affordability. I mean, every place we go to, it's definitely the cost of living and the extraordinary cost of groceries, of healthcare, the absence of healthcare, childcare expenses. Think about fuel. Think about, you know, all of those expenses that a family endures week to week. Lisa, I have a local business that employs over 100 local Coloradans, full-time year-round Coloradans. We're in the world of property management. So we are with this on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis. We're doing tremendous work with our employees. And half of our business is in the world of blue-collar kind of, you know, water systems, sewer systems, industrial work, industrial buildings, and whatnot. So what I mean to say by that is that we know the working class families. And frankly, Lisa, you know, from an experience perspective, I come from a family, a broken family, a single mom, middle of three boys, raised on food stamps, frankly. So, you know, the notion of having to work through those challenges is the same thing that my wife and I have gone through. You know, we've been married 35 years. We have a home mortgage. We raised three daughters, you know, in the district. We understand what it is to go through childcare and expenses for their needs and to work through that and the need to make ends meet. So from our perspective, you know, we have a firsthand view, and we also have the focus on that. Number two is accountability. Frankly, accountability of Congress. Congress, I think, has absolutely advocated its responsibilities as an important prong of a constitutional government that is reliant upon a legislation to check and balance against the executive. And we have absolutely failed in that regard. So that's a huge, huge focus for me. I think that you starts at one chair at a time, one seat at a time. And this seat right here, right now, is a super target for us to make that go. Public lands, absolutely public lands. We, you know, we have 90% of the lands in the Western Slope that are federally owned in some format, BLM or Forest Service. Think about the staffing cuts that went through DOGE and have continued, and it can to continue to erode the staffing models. We need professional staff. And now you see communities having to, you know, and they're doing a good job of trying to pony up and provide you know, volunteer support, but that's not a sustainable model. We definitely need to correct and amend that. That came from DOGE as well. Ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. I am also super focused on water, and my God, water. So I serve on the Water and Sanitation District Board here in Snowmass Village. We focus a lot on the preservation if you will, now the rationing the water. And we also are focused on the Colorado River and the compact and the, you know, think about the Shoshone and that particular negotiation, trying to secure those senior water rights for the benefit of the Western Slope.
Yeah, I'd like to pivot a little bit here to the primary race. Alex Keloff has been on the campaign trail now for about a year. What are your thoughts about him as a candidate, and how do you differ from him?
The differences, in our opinion, could not be more distinct. First thing, I'm the only candidate that's actually lived in the district for more than 5 years. I lived in the district for 30 years. I lived in Colorado now for 35 years. I was a U.S. Army officer after going to West Point, United States Military Academy, for 4 years. I served in combat. I'm an airborne ranger. I'm a Bronze Star recipient. I'm a husband, 35 years. My wife, Margaret, a public school teacher of 25 years in the district. We were married in Colorado. We moved to the district, as I said, 30 years ago. We've raised a family in the district. Three adorable mid-20s girls. Two of which, Lisa, have taken on Army ROTC scholarships to pay for their college and then serve their country, our country. I got one that's active duty right now. She's a lieutenant in an infantry division in the Pacific Theater. So you tell me if this current administration and the wars that are not real to us, this is super real. This is super serious.
To find out more reasons why Romero believes he's the better Democratic candidate, his thoughts on Congressman Jeff Hurd's primary race, and President Trump's national politics, head over to KVNF Stories on our website for the rest of the interview. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audrey McCabe.